remember that story. I'm going to just walk by it a little. Don't do that very often. But Sunday, we had the Palm Sunday, the waving of palms. A good day for the disciples especially, and for Jesus. Many said it was his finest hour, but I beg to differ. Anyhow, the day ended good for the Lord and the disciples. Monday, things would begin to change. It was the day of the cleansing of the temple when he set the house of God in order and cleansed the temple. Tuesday was the day of conflict. That's when the rubber met the road and the conflict come to a head, and the religious leaders were waiting for him on his daily visit to the temple, and they confronted him with questions, trying to embarrass him, trying to really to chip away at his popularity, which he maintained great popularity. But that began to change. So they openly confronted him on Tuesday, and he withstood them. On Wednesday, our Lord stayed in Bethany. It's called the Day of Rest. Had a nice dinner. He was anointed by a woman who broke a very precious ointment bottle and poured it over his head and anointed him. Some of them didn't like it, and he said, "Whoa, this is a prelude into my death. She is actually anointing my body for burial. The cross lays ahead." Thursday would be the Passover, and he would send the disciples to get ready for a place to, for them to keep the Passover meal. Thursday evening, Jesus made his last trip to Jerusalem, and they kept the Passover, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. Remember me, my suffering. Went to the garden where he got in great agony, fell to the earth, and one of the scriptures says that his sweat fell as great drops of blood. He is arrested and betrayed with a kiss in the garden, carried and kept up all night by the Sanhedrin court, the high priest, and found guilty of blasphemy. The death sentence is issued. Friday morning, they take him to the Roman governor, who, after some finagling, finally gives in to the crowd and the religious leaders and says, "Okay, crucify him. He is a condemned man." And on the cross, probably by 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, the Bible says about noon, there was darkness over all the land until about 3 o'clock when he deceased, at which about 3 o'clock he cried out a couple of times, at least, maybe three, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished." He cried out one last time, the Bible says, and gave up the ghost. He died on the cross. There's a lot of people that are watching it. Some of them thought maybe that he would call Elijah and the angels to rescue him and to get him off, but he died on the cross. And so they thought it's the end of the story. Quickly, we must get him down from the cross because it is the Sabbath is coming quickly. And so Joseph and Nicodemus begged the body of Christ, get some linen and a few spices very quickly and bury Jesus. He is in the tomb probably before at least 6 o'clock that evening, before dark. He is placed in the tomb. The tomb is sealed. The chief priests and the elders said, it's funny to me how they heard this, and the disciples didn't really pay much attention. It's kind of went over their head. We remember this deceiver said that he would rise from the dead. And so we want a guard over the tomb, and Pilate said, "You have it, see to it. Do the best you can. Get it sealed and I'll give you the guard. And they said, okay, that's the end of the story. That's the deal. Our Lord was in the grave Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday, but something happens on Sunday, and that's the reason we're here today. Amen? Amen. Something happened. Amen. And we celebrate His glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. It is a calendar date that the church has chosen down through history. I don't know about the accuracy of all. It doesn't matter. Some people get all tore up about exact dates and all what all these chronological orders are and all that. It gives us a pretty good picture. Don't you agree that the gospel gives us a pretty good description of what happened? Amen? Amen. We can read it for ourselves. It is a date that the church puts special emphasis upon, the resurrection of our Lord. This is our hope. Amen? This is our hope. Oh, St. Paul would say in some of his defenses, for the hope of Israel, I'm on trial here. Well, for the hope of all of us, we're here today. Amen. Amen. I want to read a scripture from the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, remember, the religious leaders were a little concerned because he did say, tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll build it back. He did say he'd rise. And they said, his disciples, knowing that bunch, they're liable to come steal his body and start a rumor that he's rose from the dead. So we want to be sure that don't happen. We have a sealed tomb, a big rock. We have Roman guards standing guard. But on that first Easter Sunday morning, something happened. Now, the Gospels, especially Mark, closes out after the burial of Jesus. You know, it went from Hosanna, save us, be our Savior on Sunday until he's in the grave, you know, in less than a week. That's from Sunday to Friday. He's been condemned, crucified, and in the grave before 6 o'clock, I believe it was, or something like that, before sundown, for the Sabbath started. The ladies marked his grave. Remember, he's buried in a borrowed tomb. Joseph had his own tomb, and he was willing to accommodate. And the ladies marked the spots where it was. We want to know where he's buried. They were not pleased that the Lord didn't have, in their opinion, a proper burial. Our Lord has been crucified. Joseph and Nicodemus done the best they could with fine linens and bought some spices, but they were limited with the approaching hour. You know, you have to get this done before the Sabbath, which starts at, I believe, 6 o'clock or something like that. So time restrained, they done the best they could to get our Lord buried. But some of the ladies didn't feel that he had been properly seen to and buried. They're restricted on the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. Can't do much of nothing. But they quickly got together some spices and the material that they needed to go and to finish a job that was done very hastily, and they didn't feel good about it. We can do better. and they are restricted by the Sabbath laws, and they must wait till the Sabbath. But they done all they could to get prepared for it, and as soon as they can, they spring into action. Reading from Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? This is the first announcement that the Lord is alive. He is risen from the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? They came to a tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned to the sepulchre and told these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. No hope in that crowd. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. And so a little bit of hope springs up there in Peter. But I want us to look at verse number 3 here. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hope springs from an empty tomb. This is the first evidence of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody, even after Jesus has foretold them about the resurrection, nobody's really expecting it. This is the hope. This is where our hope starts here. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Hope springs from an empty tomb. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day that we celebrate your glorious resurrection. Lord, help us to proudly proclaim this message of hope to a lost and dying world today with no hope in it. Lord, I pray if there be those who are here today or listening from afar who are living without hope, that today the Holy Spirit would convince them that you rose from the dead. Dear Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would touch their lives. I pray that you would encourage the church today as believers, dear Lord, that we could get re-energized, dear Lord, in our faith and share it with others today, dear Lord. I pray that you would meet our every need here today. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope springs from an empty tomb. The devout ladies here, the followers of Jesus, who want to give him, in their opinion, a proper burial, they were not satisfied with the hurried up burial that Nicodemus and Joseph Gay. They done the best they could there, and they had to get things together rather quickly. And the ladies were, they didn't have time to do what they wanted to do. And so as soon as the proper time of the Sabbath will allow them, they have made what preparations they can. And they want to go out of devotion and love to the Lord to give him a proper burial. And upon coming to the tomb, you know, they never really thought too much about rolling away the stone. They're just acting in obedience. They're just going to do what they can. They are not satisfied with the burial that the Lord was given there. And so they want to do what they can do. And they didn't wait to make sure that the stone would be rolled away. There's a lesson in that for us too. You know, sometimes we just have to go and act on faith and trust the Lord to roll the stones away. And when they get there, the stone is rolled away and they enter in, and there is no body of Jesus there. They don't know what's happened to him. And it says in verse 4, and it came to pass that they were much perplexed. They are troubled. You know, what has happened here? Not a clue that the resurrection, the glorious resurrection of Jesus, has taken place, but perplexed about and troubled. Remember, we have Roman guards who are stationed at the tomb. By this time, we believe that they had come conscious after being knocked out and run back into the city to share this story to the high priest and the leaders. They're perplexed, and it says there two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed their faces to them. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? The first news that Jesus has rose from the dead. He is not here, but is risen. Remember. Now, the followers of Jesus, when he talked about that he must die and rise again, that just kind of went over their ears. They didn't understand it. They didn't hear it. And they naturally are devastated having seen him crucified. The week started off so good. Palm Sunday, you know, we're on a roll here. You know, the whole city has come out to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. And then things begin to change. The religious leaders begin to work away on the common people and chisel away at his popularity. And the next thing you know, they have him crucified. How can things turn so quickly? And so Jesus is crucified, and you know, they're shell-shocked. They are shell-shocked. They're not thinking about what he talked about rising again. But the Bible says after these angels here begin to share with them how he told you, you know, the third day he'd rise again, they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told these things to the leaven and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. Listen to this. Ladies who visited the tomb of Jesus have come in with some very exciting news here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They thought that all hope was lost. You know, they couldn't remember what Jesus had told them. And then it says that Peter here, a glimmer of hope, ran into the sepulcher, stooping down, beheld the linen clothes lie by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And then the Lord begins to appear unto them, you know, and this message of hope springs eternal, doesn't it? over here in the same chapter, Luke chapter 24, verse 36, after the Lord had appeared unto the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they come back and tell the disciples, and you know, they're still struggling to believe this good news. Verse 36, the Bible says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, supposing they'd seen a spirit." They had seen Jesus crucified, taken down, placed in a tomb, and now the risen Lord has appeared unto them, and they are terrified, affrighted, supposing that they had seen a ghost. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, handle me, for see that a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy, they still are shell-shocked. Yet they can't comprehend. They're shell-shocked. They believe not for joy and wonder. He said unto them, "Have you any meat? We're going to convince you." They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. He took it and did eat. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. I'm sending the promise of the Father to help you. Church, we are witnesses of these things today. We're living in a dark moment in history. The population of the world has never been what it is today. The challenges we face with the gospel of Jesus are more than they've ever been today. There's more ungodliness in the world today because there's more people. There's more people. And we are his witnesses today. Are we doing our job? We have the good news of Jesus. You know, Job asked the question, if a man dies, will he live again? Shall he live again? The resurrection of Jesus is the hope that we must continue to preach. We believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that he was not a ghost. He said, "Touch me, feel me, eat some honeycomb and some fish." You know, Peter wondered himself, you know. And when Paul preached the gospel, I want to turn over here to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 32. When Paul preached in Athens, these people were very curious. They were very curious about the gospel that he preached because it had to do with the resurrection. It had to do with the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Greek mythology, they believed in some life after death, but just different spirits walking about, all that stuff. They did not know or agree with the bodily resurrection. And Paul preached that. In verse 30, it says, he gets down to the end of his sermon. He says, "In these times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commendeth every man everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day and an hour which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we'll hear you on another day, another matter. We'll hear about this later. The resurrection of the dead, that's where the rubber meets the road with the gospel. We believe in the bodily resurrection of the dead. Our resurrection depends upon Jesus' resurrection. He rose from the dead, and we have hope of the resurrection. Later, when St. Paul preached the gospel unto one of the Roman governors that he's being helped by, he said in Acts chapter 26, verse 6, 7, and 8, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made unto the fathers, the hope of the resurrection. Unto the promise of the 12 tribes instantly, serving God day and night, hope to come for the hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of. And then he asked him a very important question that we have to ask doubters and those who would mock today. Why? And he's trying to reason. You know, Paul preached the gospel every way. He tried to reason with people. We still try to do that today with the scripture. And Paul asked a question to Agrippa. You're a learned man. You're a reasonable man. You can comprehend. You know, you can make observations. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Is there life after death? If a man dies, shall he live again? Job didn't have the scriptures that we have today. He didn't have the resurrection of Jesus for us to look back on. Job is looking in the future without the assurance of the Word of God and the resurrection of Jesus. And he's saying there must be. He's saying there must be something after this life. And we say to you today, there is something after this life. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment of God. Why should it be thought a thing incredible? Some of the smartest people in the world don't get this. Carl Sagan, Stephen W. Hawking, brilliant minds, physicists who could explain the universe, who know all about these things. And I read a book by Stephen W. Hawking that I could halfway understand. A Brief Study of Time and Space. And he could put things into language that I could understand. Brilliant as they are, they would go on to say things like, Christianity is a fairy tale. They just could not come to believe the gospel. They thought it was too of an incredible thing for them to believe that God should raise the dead. So brilliant people and ignorant people alike reject the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. I believe if people were really convinced that there is a resurrection of the dead, the just and the unjust, they would be much more likely to come to the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and to believe it. If you're here today or you're listening to me and you've not yet come to faith, what happened to the apostles? Says they seemed as idle tales to them. I'll tell you what happened to them. They had an encounter with the risen Lord. What happened to St. Paul? He said, I persecuted. I set out to do harm to all those who practice Christianity. What happened to him? He had an encounter with the risen Lord. If you're not a Christian today and you're here or you're watching, you say, what are these people get all up for Easter Sunday and all? Why do they believe so much? And it's because we have had an encounter with the risen Lord. We have had an experience of grace. We have been born again. We know that Jesus lives because we have had an encounter with him. Now, we may not have been like Paul and seen him on the road to Damascus. He may not have appeared unto us like he did the apostles, but we nevertheless have had an encounter with the risen Lord, and we know he lives. That's how you know that he lives. This hope that we have. Job, way back when, thousands of years ago, pondering, if a man die, shall he live again? And hey, we have the news here. We have the answer. Yes. Yes, there is life after death. We have hope, and that hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That day when those devout ladies went to the tomb and it was empty, that was the first evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Hope sprung from that empty tomb, and it is alive today. I hope that you have a hope in Jesus Christ today. Hope sprung from that empty tomb. It is available today for those who will come. Brother Danny is going to come and lead the congregation in a song of decision, and I want to read a couple more verses to you. St. Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe. You know, people say, what I have to believe? You know, a lot of people tell you a lot of different things. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe. Think. He didn't say that thou might think and wishful thinking. No, but listen to this. And shalt believe in thy heart. Believe, be convinced. Believe in the heart. What? That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Word of God says. That we believe with all our hearts, with all our being. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Jesus said the great commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all your being. Can you believe that Jesus rose from the dead with all your being? You'll have to be convinced of it. You can repent of your sins, and then you will have an encounter if you meet the humble conditions that you must. And the Spirit of God will convince you that he rose from the dead. An encounter with the risen Lord changed the disciples. It's why the church is here today. Have you had such an encounter? It started at the empty tomb, and the hope sprang And it's my good pleasure to tell you that hope is real and it is here today for you. Jesus is alive. Let's stand together this morning. If there be one here today who wants to know this hope, you can have it if you'll come to Jesus. Shall we stand and sing?